You're listening to a Catholic news podcast from the Catholic Bishops Conference of England and Wales. Why not use iTunes to subscribe to our podcast? Simply search for Catholic News in the iStore. Hello, and welcome to today's Catholic News podcast. Now, I have to say, this is something I haven't said for a couple of years. Shame on me. But we are joined in the studio today by Ambassador Nigel Baker, the UK Ambassador to the Holy See. Nigel, can you believe it's been 2 years since we've spoken?
It's far too long. An awful lot has happened in those 2 years. It's difficult to believe that the Holy See is in the place it is in compared with 2 years ago. But here we are. And it's been a very exciting couple of years, I must say.
Absolutely, for all of us. Now, I remember saying on both those occasions that we've been podcasting, let's give you 6 months, let's give you a year, let's give you some time to, you know, get fully immersed in Rome and the job, the Holy See. It's been two years, 4 months odd.
Yep,
now.
Absolutely.
So give us a little update. How do you feel about the role these days?
Well, with that time, I think, yes, I have had a chance to get under the skin a little bit of Rome and the Holy See, get to know people. I would hope to think that I'm a little bit more efficient, effective, and know a little bit more about what's going on. On the other hand, of course, you know, there was a major change in February, March last year, and things are still changing. So although having that understanding and knowledge before that moment was very important, I also have got, like all ambassadors in Rome at the moment, and like the Roman Curia itself, you know, have to be ready to adapt to quite rapidly changing circumstances, which is a great challenge to have to face.
Now, I'm not going to ask you the unfair compare and contrast question. I don't think that would be on at all. But obviously, as you say, Pope Francis, March 2013, coming up to a year now of his pontificate, different style, different approach, very visible in the media all round, really. Tell me a bit about how you see him and his style.
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's clearly a very direct style. And one can see it in Rome from his engagement with people, physical engagement with people. He likes to be out and about. The general audiences are still attracting enormous crowds, you know, right through the winter. He hasn't gone inside the Paul VI Hall. He's been, the general audiences are still attracting tens of thousands of people in St. Peter's in all weathers. And this is very much part of his style. I think, you know, one of the things he said, people often talk about his decision to move or to not take up residence in the apostolic apartment and instead move to the Domus Santa Marta, the guest house in the Vatican. A lot of people have said, oh, it's, you know, the luxury, and he didn't want to. Actually, I don't think it's really to do with the luxurious apartments. It's to do with the fact that he draws energy from being with people. And I think his concern was being in the apostolic apartments, he would, to a certain extent, be cut off from people, both people within the broader Curia, but also people outside. The Diocese of Rome, he's very concerned as Bishop of Rome to be a good diocesan bishop, and he's been to a number of parishes during the year. So I think, you know, that's a crucial aspect of his style. The other is, you know, the way he delivers his messages. I think people have talked about this almost quite pungent style, his use of simile and metaphor and use of images that immediately catch people's attention. You know, the church of the field hospital, for example, these sort of the ecumenism of the blood, very powerful, very stark messages in some ways, but messages that people instantly understand. And that has, I think, caught the imagination and had a particular impact, which, combined with his directness, has meant that people have pricked up their ears. You know, people are really, really listening. And as you know very well, as somebody involved in communications, you know, if people aren't listening to your message, then your message is rather lost. Well, his style helps very much in getting across the message of the Catholic Church and the Holy See, and that's very powerful indeed.
Absolutely. Now, we will move on to the news that the Holy Father will create Archbishop Nichols a cardinal, 22nd of February in Rome. But I want to actually hone down onto something that you wrote in your blog on that very subject, so we will come back to it. But you were sort of saying that, historically speaking, relations between England and Wales and Scotland on the one side and the Holy See on the other have had their ups and downs, something you would expect pretty much, I would think, with any diplomatic relationship. Are we on the up at the moment? Do you see that as a very positive relationship? Just tell us how we stand at the moment.
Yes, I think my view is that we are on the up. I think that there has been a gradual effort in Rome to try and understand better the United Kingdom in all its facets and complications, understand the Anglican Church, and indeed understand Catholicism in England and Wales and Catholicism in Scotland, which, you know, Cardinal Newman was very clear, it's not the same thing as, exactly the same thing as Catholicism in Italy or in Rome. It looks at things from a different perspective. I think that that understanding was helped enormously by the visit in 2010, the success of that visit. And I've said before that you know, the success of that visit helped me when I came in 2011 to present my credentials to Pope Benedict. Doors were open to me, which I suspect 30 years ago would not have been open to a British ambassador in quite the same way. So I'm, you know, very grateful to my predecessor and all those, you know, involved in helping to develop the relationship and through the visit. And I'm glad to say that you know, the strong bilateral feeling has been maintained. You know, we had the big visit of British ministers in 2012, led by Baroness Wasi. We have a constant exchange of people coming out to Rome, people from Rome coming here. That sort of level of understanding, which improved so much in 2010, I think is further developing. And I think we have, and for me, one aspect of the decision of Pope Francis to elevate Archbishop Nichols to the College of Cardinals, one important aspect is his recognition of the importance of the church in England and Wales to the global church. You know, this is a Pope who has a very clear vision of his universal responsibilities and also a clear vision of how Catholicism in different parts of the world can help Rome itself be the servant of the Catholic Church and help the Catholic Church prosper. And I think he has a very clear understanding of how the Church in England and Wales is in many ways, I think, without exaggerating, I think in many ways a model in different areas for other bishops' conferences. I'll use one example, the questionnaire on the family, which went out last year. And the bishops' conference in England and Wales were the very first to make that available online. I think this is absolutely in line with the Pope's wish for broad consultation. And I think it was a very powerful message from England and Wales, from the bishops, that they were very much prepared to do that and going to invite comments from the faithful, not just through the filter, as it were, of the Bishops' Conference in England and Wales. And I think Pope, when he's decided in his list, new list of cardinals, just two diocesan bishops from Europe, one of those being Archbishop Nichols, I think he's saying something about the qualities of Archbishop Nichols, but also about the importance of the church in England and Wales to the global church and to his mission.
Just want to delve into the Holy Father's humility. Now, he obviously holds an office where he meets many dignitaries, many people across the board. His Holiness, our ambassadors, Your Excellencies, Cardinals, Your Eminence. They're sort of, you know, it's a very formal, it's very lofty. Do you think that he's trying to get everyone to just look a little bit more on you being you, me being me, and just bringing it down to relational stuff rather than titles and so forth?
I think very much so. You didn't mention rectors called Your Magnificence, which I think is really the grandest of all titles. But one of the things he is certainly doing in Rome is looking to draw for advice on all sorts of issues, draw on a range of different sources of advice. Of course, he is, in a sense, using the traditional source of advice from the Roman Curia itself, from the civil service in Rome. But I think he's also, you know, these famous phone calls he's been making, you know, inviting people who one would not necessarily expect to come and could meet him and have an audience. You know, he's demonstrating that there are all sorts of sources of advice in order to strengthen the mission of the church and give him the picture of the world that he needs. All these sorts of advice are valid. He insists continually on the importance of the periphery to help the centre, not so much the other way round. And I think he also sees that in relation to people as well. You know, it's real, but it's also a metaphor. And what he means by that, I think, is everybody has some wisdom to impart. An ordinary, you know, parents of family, somebody who's sleeping rough in the street, the Swiss guard who stands outside his door. Everybody has something that he can learn from. And I think he does not want to be limited by hierarchies and structures. I think he accepts that there's room for that, but does not want to be limited by that in terms of carrying forth his mission. So that leads him to focus absolutely on the person in front of him. And I understand that, you know, he really does like forthright opinions. He doesn't want people to agree with him. He's not interested in yes men, or yes women for that matter. He likes a divergence of opinions. He likes to listen. He likes to gather different views. And again, to cross over that sometimes sort of invisible force field that people feel provides a barrier between themselves and the Pope. And I think going to Santa Marta, he's getting out and about, the phone calls, these are all ways of doing just that.
Now, you must obviously pay attention to what the Holy Father says with regard to global events. I just even was reading through his address to the diplomatic corps on the 13th of January, not so very long ago. And we've got, obviously, a great deal of comment on political problems in Lebanon and the Middle East. So we've got Egypt as well in there, in North Africa. Plus, on top of that, he does talk about positivities, the dialogue between Iran and the group of 5+1. Yeah. And also when he talks about Africa, he talks about Mali on the one hand and the difficulties in South Sudan on the other. Yeah. I mean, in terms of sort of global events, he covers a massive amount of ground in that one speech alone.
I mean, it is always one of the great challenges for the Pope, and I think this was a challenge that Pope Benedict, you know, rose to as well, is that the universality of the role. You know, I've always said that one of the reasons why we have an embassy to the Holy See is because there is a parish or a mission or a Catholic church or a hospital. Anywhere you go in the world, every corner, there is a presence. And the Pope, if not managing that presence, is the articulation of that presence globally. And I think Pope Francis clearly takes that universal role very seriously. Of course, he can't possibly address every issue. But I think that sense of universality you saw very clearly in Evangelii Gaudium, in the apostolic letter, the apostolic exhortation, talking about global economic systems, talking about the church in its multiple different faces, in its different presence, in its different roles. And I think he understands that very much indeed. I think it's very positive that there are world leaders, the Pope amongst them, who are prepared to take this worldview. We live in a globalized world. You know, we all understand this. Our politicians tell this all the time. But it's quite rare that world leaders are able to lift their gaze from, you know, a particular domestic horizon, inevitably from the people who vote, directly from the people who vote for them, to the sort of broader horizons. This is a particular role that the Pope can, I think, should play, and I think Pope Francis sees it as absolutely part of his job. He articulates himself as a global pope. He's not a European pope, he's not an Argentinian pope, he's not a pope for any particular region. He's somebody who speaks to the faithful and beyond across the world. I have no doubt we will see him developing this as time goes on, and the queue of world leaders wanting to see him, I think, is an indication of the impact he is having.
Well, it's certainly nice to be doing an upbeat podcast, I have to say. So, finally, Ambassador Baker, I have to look to the future a bit. We did that a couple of years ago. Yeah. With the position you're in now, with the positivity, we have a Minister for Faith. Her Majesty's Government has a Minister for Faith, yep. Baroness Farsi, who you mentioned before. How are those links being sort of solidified, and how do you see the relationship further being built upon between the government and the Holy See?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we're always looking for opportunities to build on visits and visits in both directions. I hope that the next weeks and months we'll see a number of visits, some of them more high profile, some of them rather under the radar, which allows exchange of views, allows to to take forward initiatives in certain particular in particular areas. As an embassy, we are in and out of different parts of the Curia all the time, talking about the situation in the Central African Republic or Mali, talking about Syria, talking about climate change, talking about human rights, talking about the post-2015 International Development Agenda. And I am very keen to strengthen those conversations by bringing in different experts from the UK, from the British government, and or facilitating visits from others, coming in and out of Rome, building on these conversations, looking at what we might do together Sometimes, just in terms of, I don't know, for example, our delegation sitting in the United Nations in New York, working together on a particular issue. Or it may be we can be sharing some information and help building reciprocal pictures of what is happening in a certain part of the world because we are talking to each other. It's the 100th anniversary this year of the re-establishment of diplomatic relations between Britain and the Holy See after rather a long gap. You know, it'd be nice to find some way of commemorating that as well. So we'll be looking to do that this year. And that sort of general thickening of relationships, which can also apply here in the UK in terms of relationships between the government and the leadership of the church in England, Wales and in Scotland, can also apply to the broader relationships in Rome and indeed feed into aspects of the ecumenical relationships, for example, with the Anglican Church, which is something that the embassy is always very happy to facilitate where we can. So there's quite a lengthy agenda, and I'm delighted that the embassy is at the centre of it, and I think we're pushing it an open door in Rome.
Sounds like a massive workload, so good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Talking about firming those relationships up, let's try and keep it to a little under 2 years, if we possibly can.
with great pleasure. No, look forward to be back again.
Excellent. That's Ambassador Nigel Baker, the UK Ambassador to the Holy See. Thank you for listening to another Catholic News podcast. The home of the Catholic News podcast is catholicnews.org.uk. And we'll also pop Ambassador Baker's latest blog onto that particular podcast. So you'll be hearing this and we'll see that as well. And you can have a read and download. So thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with another podcast very soon.